Greetings, Christian friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with an update. We have been looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month for 1 year to support this program. We have had many people make that commitment, but we are still looking for others who want to partner with this ministry. If this program has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider how you can help us? Remember, even if you cannot participate financially, prayer is always in order. Stay tuned, and our announcer will let you know how to contact us. God richly bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, The Enemies of Holiness, from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Enemies of Holiness.
And so God blesses us with things, and God blesses us with many things. But we should not let them get to the point where, let me back up. This word lust, all right, let me break this down for you. This word lust, epithumos, it means to have a burning in the heart, okay? A burning in the heart. So, if I see something through the eye gate, if I look at some eye candy, right, I can either do one or two things. I can say, man, you know what? That sure is a nice looking car. Well, that's a nice looking house. Or those are some nice looking threads, all right? And nothing happened. There's no burning in here. But the minute that I look at something and there's a burning desire in my heart to have this thing, at that point it becomes the lust of the eyes. So just seeing it is not necessarily the lust of the eyes. But now when it begins to burn in your heart, when it begins to, a burning desire in your heart to have this, now it becomes lust. And so we have to be careful. And that's why, you know, I'm going to talk about it here in a second, about the eyes. We have to be careful with our eyes, because if we gaze or we look upon something for too long, it will cause this burning, this desire to come up in our heart. And then he says at that point, it becomes a lust of the eyes. You know, we all remember that song by the Temptations, right? Keeping Up with the Joneses. You know, they get a new car, you know, and what, eye gate, right? Eye candy. All right, Joneses got a new car. I got to get one. All right? Joneses get a new house. I got to get one. Trying to keep up with the Joneses. And you can't do it. And because it becomes a lust of the eyes. And this is a, instead of you now having a desire for God, a desire to fall in love with him, a desire to just have a powerful relationship with God, now you're lusting with your eyes. Instead of looking at the word, instead of looking to God in prayer, instead of looking out to see how I could be a servant of the Most High God, I'm now what? Instead of taking these eyes to look, I'm lusting. And so these become an enemy to holiness. And as I said earlier, he just gives us three phrases, but in these three phrases, I believe you can take the sum of all the ways that people can be drawn away from holiness. And the third way that he talks about is called the pride of life. The pride of life. And as we think about the pride of life. Look at Isaiah chapter 14, because this is where the pride of life originated. And when we think about how it originated, it's been permeating society ever since then. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. And it says in verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Now, this is the name of the devil or Satan before he fell from heaven. His name was Lucifer, and he was the music director. The Bible says that in him was music, all kinds of music. And it says he was perfect in every way, that God created him a perfect being. But look how he fell. Look what took Lucifer down. It says, Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, who did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the sides of the pit. What got Satan kicked out of heaven? Pride. Pride. The pride of life. That's what got him kicked out. And you know what? There's an interesting passage in the book of Luke. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like what? Anybody remember? Like lightning. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. You want to go down quick? The pride of life will take you down quicker than anything else. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning, like a bolt of lightning, he fell that quick. And when we examine these statements by the devil, we see that it's all about self. First of all, it's about self-boasting. He said, I will ascend into heaven. He was bragging about what he was going to do. The next thing was self-exaltation. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Satan wanted to rule over the star of God or the angels. You know, we see in the Bible that the stars can also refer to angels. And so what did he want to do? He wanted to exalt himself above all the angels. He was an angel. The devil is an angel. No matter how evil or wicked he is, the devil is an angel. And he wanted to be the what? The head angel. He wanted to exalt himself above all the other angels. Self-empowerment. He said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, when you look at this empowerment, the sides of the north was a poetical expression for power and preeminence. Ancient people believed the north was the highest part of the earth. So he wanted self-empowerment. He wanted to have all power. I will sit in the seat of power on the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's what he said. He said that, you can go ahead to that next one, because that's what I, right there. That's a poetical expression for power and preeminence. And he said that, I want to have the place of power. I want to have the place of preeminence. And then we see self-glorification. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. The clouds in the Bible are symbolic of what? They are symbolic of glory. All right, and where there's scripture right there. You can read those scriptures where it shows you that the clouds are symbolic of glory. And so what does Satan want? He wanted, instead of God to get the glory, oh man, somebody hear me this morning. Instead of God getting the glory, he wanted the glory. He wanted it for himself. That I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And then self-importance. He said, I will be like the Most High. The Most High, the Hebrew term is El Elyon. And this was the God who possessed heaven and earth. Remember in Genesis 14, God revealed himself to Abraham as El Elyon. And what did he say? I am the God who possesses heaven and earth. And so Satan wanted what? He wanted to be like the Most High. Now just look at that for a minute. These things that we talked about. Self-boasting, self-exaltation, self-empowerment, self-glorification, and self-importance. And let me ask one question. Where is that emphasized more than anywhere else? In the what? In the world. In the world. What does the world say? The world says that you need to empower yourself. Don't trust any other power, but you empower yourself. You go. See, and here, you know, here again is the problem. You know, you go and you get an education so that you can go out and get a good job, so that you can be empowered to live a life for yourself. Whereas the Christian concept of this whole thing is not self-empowerment, but it's God-empowerment. And it said, because you see, when it's self-empowerment, oh, somebody heard me right there. When it's self-empowerment, then go to the last thing, or the next to the last thing. When it's self-empowerment, then what else does it become? Self-glorification. See, self-empowerment leads to self-glorification. I'm not saying don't go to college. I went to college. Went to graduate school. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when we go so that we can empower self to take care of self, then we got the wrong perspective on things. That we go and get empowered by God. You know what? The first year, let me give a testimony. My first year in college, I flunked out. Yes, that's true. That's true. I think I had a 0.07. And all I did was went to party and play football. That's all I went for. And, you know, I got back in after sitting out for a year and, you know, took it a little more serious. But after I gave my heart to the Lord. Now, so I already know what Bill Glaze can do in the flesh, right? I already know what Bill Glaze can do in the flesh. When I gave, my GPA was bad. But when I graduated from college, I graduated with a 3.3. Now, what does that tell you? If I'd have got straight from the very beginning, then, you know, I'd have been up there. You know, I'd have graduated magna cum or summa cum instead of, oh, Lordy, I would have graduated. But I saw the difference when Bill Glaze was trying to empower and when I let Christ empower. And then when you let him empower, then you are there because you want to glorify him. And no matter what job he gives you, no matter where you serve, whatever occupation you have in life, that I'm there because this is where God wants me to be. God opened this door. God allowed me to come here. And so I've been empowered by God. I've been placed here by God. And now I want to represent God. Now, again, that don't mean that you take your Bible and beat people up with your Bible, that you pass out 100 tracts a day. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying perspective is the key thing. That when we have perspective, then watch this. We do not buy into the world's system. But when we don't have perspective, that's when we are consumed by the world's program, by the world's plan, and by the world's prosperity. And so the pride of life, it basically means the same thing that it meant for Satan. It meant self-boasting, self-exaltation, self-empowerment, self-glorification, and self-importance. That's what got him kicked out of heaven. And so, saints, we need to not buy into the world system. Now look at this, and I'm going to move on, but look at this. Let me read it one more time. Can you put that up there again? One more time, from the beginning. Self-boasting, self-exaltation, self-empowerment. Go ahead. Self-glorification, self-importance. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And the God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Satan. And he got kicked out of heaven. He couldn't promote his program in heaven. And so what did he do? He's down here promoting his program every day. And sad to say that not only are people getting caught up in it, but the world, believers are getting caught up in the world's system. Big threat. Big threat to holiness. Enemy to holiness. So how do we conquer the enemies of holiness? How do we conquer the enemies of holiness? Well, John said the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that these are enemies to holiness. Now, let me give you two examples. The first one is Eve. Now, why are these two examples so important? Because the first one got us where we're at today. That we wouldn't be, I can't make this definitive statement, but we wouldn't be able to blame this on our sinful condition today. You know, we might blame something else, but we wouldn't be able to blame this on our sinful condition today, because it all started right here, right? And the Bible says that when Satan came to Eve, what did he do? He tempted her. He tempted her. And how did he tempt her? This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing that he tempted her in three ways. The first way was the lust of the flesh, right? And the woman saw that the tree was what? Wow. Wow. That the tree was good for food. Lust of the flesh. And then what did he do? Lust of the eyes. And it was what? Man, this blows my mind. And it was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, man. Wow. And then what? It'll make you wise. That God has not. God knows when you eat, you're going to be just like him. It is one to make one wise. All right. We back on? Okay. So, that's just Eve, right? So, that's where it all started with us, right there. Right there is where it all started. With the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Well, when he tried to mess up our salvation, right? We lost it in the garden. Oh, somebody hear me this morning. Amen. We lost it in the garden, right? We see how we lost it in the garden. He tried to mess up our salvation again when Jesus came. And what did he tempt Jesus? In Matthew chapter 4, we have the temptation of Christ, right? And what did he do? The lust of the flesh. Command these stones be made bread. Jesus, you're hungry. You've been fasting. Turn these stones into bread. If your flesh is lusting, then you can eat this bread. The lust of the eyes. What did he do? He took him up and showed him what? All the kingdoms of the world and the glory. The lust of the eyes. And then the pride of life. He said, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. You a bad dude, Jesus. You are bad. Go ahead and jump off this pinnacle of this temple. Jump on off, because nothing is going to happen to you. You know, you are bad. You are the Son of God. What was he trying to affect? His pride. If you are God, then you can do this. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time dash thy foot against the stone. Do you see the two key times that Satan came? The two key times, the fall and the redemption. And he comes the same way. You know how he's coming in your life? The same way. He's coming the same way. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So how do we conquer these enemies? First of all, the Apostle Paul says, make no provision for the flesh. Don't, you know, every time you feel that your flesh is creeping up in you, then you need to not give it the opportunity to act out. So if you are struggling with some immoral thoughts, okay, then making an opportunity for the flesh would be to start dealing with stuff that's going to feed those thoughts. So he says, make no provision for the flesh. That you need to kill the flesh. You can't let the flesh dominate you. You can't let the flesh overcome you. And that's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, I beat myself into subjection. He said, I keep my flesh down. He said, because if I don't and my flesh overcomes me, then I'm going to be a castaway. I'm not going to be able to be used by God. I'm going to be unapproved. And so you can't make provision for the flesh. You know, if you got a problem with anger, then you need to stay away and stay out of places that cause you to be angry until you get a hold of it. Make no provision for the flesh. If you got a problem with lust, then you need to stay away from even magazines that might come in your mail that would kick off that lust that's within you. All right? Make no provision for the flesh, because it ruins. It's an enemy of holiness. The second thing, lust of the eyes. Job said that he made a covenant with his eyes. Now, he said specifically that he would not look upon a maid, but I kind of cut it off there because I think that there's some good words there in the fact that make a covenant with your eyes, not the lust. That whenever you look at something, and you might look at it and say, man, you know, that's pretty nice. You know, now I know people that will look at a car and begin to lust after a car. So what is the difference there? Well, when you look at that car and you say, man, you know, that's a 19 so-and-so, so-and-so. It has this kind of engine. And you, that's all good. If you know that stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. Knowing that, being able to talk about that, nothing wrong with it. But now when there's that desire, that burn that you want, this, I got to have it, no matter how. Even though I can't afford it, I got to have it, right? Then that's the lust of the eyes, all right? That's the lust of the eyes. And then the pride of life, the pride of life. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, talks about vainglory. And that word vainglory there actually means pride. And it says that, you know, you got to put down. You got to deal with pride in your life and not let it creep up. You know, you have to have a humble, sincere attitude. You know, you can't go around and like Satan. I'm gonna go back and read that again. You know, you can't go around like Satan, self-boasting, exalting self, empowering self, glorifying self, and telling everybody how important you are. All right? Those things all fight against humility, and those are the pride of life. And so we see here that we are called to be humble, not walked on, not spit on, not dogged out, but we are called to be humble. And humble means that you are not, all the things that we read about Satan in Isaiah chapter 14, those are the things that you want to fight against. You don't want to allow those things to creep into your life. Because when they do, then that's when you become guilty of the sin of the pride of life. And so we see the enemies of holiness. So hopefully you know them now, that whenever these things come up and they try to attack our holiness. Deacon Hart, if you go back to that one with the glasses, the clean glass and the dirty glass, okay, whenever these things come in our life, remember the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, what are they trying to do? They're trying to take us from being a clean vessel to an unclean vessel. A clean vessel to an unclean vessel. It's trying to defile us. And when we are defiled, we are no longer holy. And as has been the practice each week, we have insert in your bulletin, or in your notes at the end, that talk about how can I apply this? You know, how can I apply this? Jonathan Edwards, he made 70 resolutions to holiness. What is your resolution to holiness today, especially in relationship to in relationship to relationships? What is your resolution today?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Practice Holiness from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Enemies of Holiness, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Enemies of Holiness. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Enemies of Holiness, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.